Be'ezah Hashem, we are now beginning our parasha class, parasha Tetzaveh. Tonight is the night of Zayin Adur Aleph, Tavshin Ayin Tes, corresponding with the English calendar, February 11th, 2019. Okay, we are going to give you a little of an overview of the parasha and then focus in on a specific area that is very relevant to all of us. The parasha in the beginning, if you look at in your Chumash 464 in the art scroll, that's Perek Chav Ches, we'll start with Pasuk Gimel, where Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to the Bnei Yisrael, and he should inform them to make special garments for the Kohanim, the Kohen Gadol specifically, and the Kohen Hedyot, the children of the Kohen Gadol. And we know that the Kohen Gadol wore 8 garments, and the Kohen Hedyot wore 4 garments. And the parasha goes into detail about how they were made, and it takes up approximately half the parasha. Now let's read a little bit of the psukim. In Pasuk Gimel it says, "V'atu tedaber al kol chachmei lev," and you shall speak unto the wise men, those who are wise at heart, "Asher mileisiv ruach chachma," which I have filled them up with the spirit of wisdom. For also as big day Aaron lekatsha lachanuli, and they should make the garment for Aaron to sanctify him, and lachanuli, and it should serve me that these garments, after they're worn, while they're worn, will be able to be used to serve Hashem. So these are the garments which they shall make. Choshen is the best plate. The ephod is looking apron that's worn from behind, that has 2 shoulder straps, that has affixed to the top 2 very precious stones. Umi'il, and this blue garment that has at the bottom imitation pomegranate and golden belts, ukisones tashbeitz, and a tunic, like a shirt, that has the design of boxes or some kind of a knit kind of ornamentation inside the fabric. Mitznefes, a hat, va'avnet, and a belt. Right? Actually, there's more than just these. There's also included a tzitz, that is a plate that was worn on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol with the words Kodesh Hashem. And michnasayim, those were like trousers, like pants that were worn directly on the flesh of the kohen. Now the pasuk continues, "V'asu bigdei kodesh la'aron achicha," and they shall make these holy garments for Aaron your brother, ulavanav, and to his children, lachanali, to serve me. Now the psukim continue on for many, many, many psukim that deal with the making of these precious garments, and it goes for many, many pages, and we're going to just move on with this to the next as it goes on further and further. I'm moving on the art scroll, if you can follow me. We're going on from 466 to 468, from 468 to 470, And it goes on with the details of all of these garments. It continues on to 472, and it continues to 474, and there it stops, and is right near the parsha of the korbanos that the Kohen Gadol with the Kohen Hedyot have to make in order to prepare them for the service of working as a Kohen. And this is an interesting thing. We are combining together right next to the garments, right next to the making of the garments. We are talking about korbanos, the precious korbanos that were required to be brought in order to make the kohanim work and be qualified, I should say, for the aveda. This part, these korbanos that we're talking about, are preparation which we know were done for 7 days as preparation, as practice, and by the 8th day they were actually put into motion as a real korban. These were known as the Shmoni Yemei Meluyim, the 8th day of the inauguration, the 8th day that they were used, these korbanos, in order to prepare them for the actual service in the Mishkan, and by the 8th day it actually was the real thing. Now, I'm going to read you from my Rebbe Sefer Chidekel, an amazing Chazal. He quotes a Gemara in Masechet Zevachim that explains something very interesting. The Gemara in Zevachim makes a point to clarify why was it necessary to mention the garments right next to the bringing of the korbanos. What was the relevance? What was the connection? What was the purpose? We don't put one parsha near another parsha just randomly, right? It's not just put there. There was a reason for it. As I just mentioned, so many pages mentioned about the building, I should say, the production of the holy garments. And right next to these garments, it mentioned about korbanos. So let me read you a piece of what the Sefer says that explains this interesting thing. Why do we put the two parshas together? Lo malacha, to teach you, to tell you, mar korbanos mechaprin af bigdei kohuna mechaprin. Just like sacrifices atone, the same thing these 8 garments atone. Remember the question I'm raising. We just spent maybe 6 pages explaining the production of the garments, and right next to the production of the garments, we're talking about bringing korbanos. What was the significance? So he brought down a Gemara in Zevachim, Daf Peches Amid Beis, and it says that just like korbanos atone, the same thing the garments of the Kohanim atone. Now it goes to every garment. Kisones, the tunic, mechaperes al shvichos dam, atones for murder. If there was, God forbid, a murder in the Jewish people, the kisones that was worn by the Kohen Gadol would atone for murder. Michnasayim, the trousers, the pants, what would they be machaper? What would they atone for? Al gilei arayis, on immorality. It has to do with that part of the body. The ephod is that apron-looking garment that was worn behind the Kohen's back, and it was tied in front, and it had the shoulder straps with the two precious Avnei Shoham on the top of his shoulders with the names of the Shvatim. What would they atone for? Even Machapa al Avodah Zorah. It would atone for Avodah Zorah. The Hachoshen, and what would the Choshen atone for? Machapa al Adinim, on judgments that were made incorrectly, or a false judgment. When there's a judgment made by Beis Din, by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, or by the Beis Din HaGadol, it was a very holy thing. If they should have made a mistake, it was a breach, and it was an aveira. But this would atone, and that was the Yechoshua would be atoned for dinim that were incorrectly judged, including that would even include also gezel, or everything that would be involved with dinim, with judgment. And we find the mitznefes. What would the hat that was worn by the Kohen Gadol atone for? That would be machaper, that would forgive al gasei haruach. Gasei haruach means haughtiness, gaiva, being boastful. You need a kapara for that. V'ha'avneit, and on the belt, what would that atone for? Hiru ha'lev, immoral thoughts. Hatzitz, and that plate that was worn on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol, what would that atone for? Al Azaz Panim, on chutzpah, on Azaz Panim, where a person would do a veris rebelliously with chutzpah, and that would atone for that. And finally, Me'il, that's that blue gown that had on the bottom imitation pomegranates and golden bells, that would be machaper, that would atone for Lashon Hara. So we see that all of the garments would come for something. It would come to be machaper, it would come to atone for. It's just not wearing garments. It's just not a lifestyle or a something lahavdala came today, you know, styles come and go from France and Paris, and they come up with all these kind of different kinds of gimmicks and styles. Chas v'shalom. Every garment was precise, and every garment had a purpose, and every garment was machaper. So the Gemara explains, that's why, after mentioning the production of all of the garments, it's put right next to korbanos. The korbanos that there was like the inauguration for the Kohanim, and that which began their inauguration through the bringing of the korbanos, just like the korbanos are machaper, so the garments are machaper.
So
question:
I understand for like Lashon Hara that yes. The bells, yes. Why pomegranates as well?
Okay, so you're asking me a question that's like a detail which I didn't want to get into, but I'll quickly answer that because I have a whole different discussion right now. But quickly, the answer to that is the Chofetz Chaim says a beautiful thought. He says the reason why there were imitation pomegranates and bells in between each other, because basically speaking, this garment forgave on Lashon Hara. And the pomegranates are items that don't make noise. As much as you would shake a pomegranate, there would be no noise. It would be silent. You take a bell and you would shake it, it would make a clarion sound. The Torah wants us to know that there are times that we have to be as loud and clear as a bell, And there are times that we have to be as quiet and as silent as a pomegranate. And the pomegranate is put on the bottom of the me'il that atones for Lashon Hara. Let's explain the drop more. Bells, should you be allowed to make a clear sound? You have to be loud and clear to say no to someone who wants you to do a sin. You have to be able to be clear to say, I am not going to do what you want me to do. Or no, it's the wrong thing for you to do that. You have to be as loud and as clear as a bell. And when it comes to saying the wrong thing, you have to be as silent and quiet as a pomegranate. So then the question is, let it be a peach, let it be an orange, let it be an apple. Why a pomegranate? So we know that a pomegranate has the significance of the 613 pits. And the 613 is Taryag, is a representation of the Taryag mitzvahs. If you want to be able to fulfill the Taryag mitzvahs, then you have to be able to have Shmiras HaLashon. You have to be able to guard your mouth. So as the Chofetz Chaim explained, by the way, that's my input about the pomegranate, but I think there is some truth to it. But back to the original thought of the Chofetz Chaim, that he says there's in between bells, there are pomegranates to tell you there's a time to be quiet and there's a time to be loud and clear. And you've got to be clear in how you use your mouth. Hamavis v'chaim b'yad haloshon, death and life is in the hand of the tongue. V'oy haveho yechal, period, the pasuk says, and those who love to eat, to use it, will eat its fruit, good or bad. And that puts that aside at the moment, but I want to go back to our original discussion. Now, in our original discussion, we talked about how the garments, each garment atones for a different aveira. So my Rebbe goes on and says a beautiful thought, and I must share this with you. And my Rebbe says, just like there are very serious aveiras that need atonement, murder, avodah zarah, idol worship, right, immorality, right, stealing, misjudging, and all these are serious things. Just like physical things that need a kapara, need an atonement, my Rebbe says, midos ra'os, bad habits, also need a kapara. And that's all packaged near bringing a korban. And he quotes the Rambam, who substantiates what my Rebbe is saying. I'll quote the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Zayin, Halacha Gimel. And let me explain exactly what he says. Al Toma She'en Tshuva Ela Me'aveiro She'esh Ben Maisa. Don't think tshuva is only necessary for things or deeds that are physical. Kagon, for example, zanus, immorality, vigezel, and stealing, ugineva, and thievery. Ela kashem shitzarech adam lashem mi'elu, kach hutzarech lachapes mideos ra'os. Just like a person has to do tshuva from these terrible aveiros that were just mentioned, a person has to also do tshuva from corrupt behavior and attitudes. V'loshev min hakas, and he has to do tshuva from anger, or min ha'eva, and from hatred, or min hakina, and from jealousy, or min hahitol, and from mockery, or meredifas hamaman, and for pursuing money as an objective in the life, that this is the purpose of life, and that's the only thing that he is interested in, and then everything else becomes second nature. Kavod, he has to realize that pursuing kavod is dangerous and is very negative because it results into disastrous results. Even redivas hamachalos, that a person should be an epicurean, a person who looks after and lives for eating. Some people live to eat and some people eat to live. If you live to eat, The Torah says that's not what you are here for. We eat to live, but we don't live to eat. Min hakol, says the Rambam, and I'm quoting the verbatim the Rambam. Tzorach lachsa b'tshuva, and all these you need tshuva, and they're harder than the outright physical averus. You know why, he says? Why elo averus havonos kashim osum sheish ben maisa? Why are these harder than doing tshuva on physical things that we know are wrong, when this is more internal and more emotional? Because it's very hard to pull away and break away from these emotional and habitual things that are wrong. Right? He thinks, what's the big deal? It is a big deal, and it is very difficult to pull away. Therefore, he's instructed, I'm a Yazav Rasha Darko. An evil man should leave his bad way. V'ish ova machshavosav, and the man with sin should abandon his bad plans, his thoughts. So my Rebbe is saying a very important thing. He's saying over here that the reason all this, just like there are big day kahuna near korbanos, to teach us that the physical averus that one might do needs atonement. Also, midos ro'os need atonement. And it's packaged right next to, he says, that therefore the korbanos are there to tell us that message on the garments, but it's there also to tell us about midos ro'os on bad habits. I raise the question, what would be the first sign one would be able to notice something is wrong with himself? It's not the only sign, but we'll call it in English for the best way to explain it, as a red flag. What would be the first red flag that one should be concerned about and would be something to grab your attention? It's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, you can open it up. I have the Siddur here. It's in page 560, Perek Gimel. Mishnah Yud Gimel. Hu Hayayimer. He used to say, who is he? Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Kol sheruach habrios nocha heimenu. Whoever the spirit of a person's countrymen, habrios are people, common people. Kol sheruach habrios nocha heimenu. Where the people who you are accustomed to be with are pleased with you, then ruach hamokom nocha himenu. It's a sign that Hashem's spirit is happy with you. V'chol she'ein ruach habrias nocha himenu, and when people who you mingle with are not pleased with you, ein ruach hamokom nocha himenu, then Hashem's feeling and spirit is not happy with you. The first red flag to know if you are on course in your midos and behavior or off course is, are you a person who people are happy with, or that people are always complaining and always fighting with and always have something negative to say? If a person is a person who is accepted by his community and people have good things to say about him, and as the Mishnah says, it's sheruach habrias necha hemenu, that his people, his friends, his community are happy, are pleased with him, that's a good sign. Then you know that Hashem is happy with you. See, we don't have a connection directly that we know what God is thinking about us right now. But I can tell you, the Mishnah is telling us how Hashem is talking about you right now. You know what that is? That is what people are feeling about you, what people are saying about you. If people are pleased about you, then you know Hashem is also pleased with you. But if there are people are not pleased with you, then you have to know that Hashem is not pleased with you. That means this is an important eye-opener. We don't have Ruach HaKodesh anymore. We don't have a Kohen Gadol anymore. We don't have Nevi'im anymore. But the Mishnah is revealing a secret. That you want to know what Hashem's thinking about you? Is He pleased with you or not pleased with you? What is the consensus of your close group that you mingle with, that you are entirely engaged with? Are they pleased with you? Then Hashem is also pleased with you. And if they're not, there are always strife and arguments and bickering and jealousy and contention between you and your friends or your countrymen and your neighborhoods and your people you live with, then you should know Hashem is not happy with you either. That's the first red flag. Now, from here, we can develop it a little bit further. Well, how do we safeguard ourselves? I mentioned a very serious list of things that we should be concerned about: midos, habits, feelings, emotions that might be negative. How do we take that proper step in order to protect us or help us do tshuva on anything that's negative that we might be doing? I would tell you the first step, the very first step is tefillah, is to daven for help. Where do we daven for help? We say it every day. Are you aware you're saying it every day? We've mentioned it in previous shiurim, but maybe not in the same context, but I think we should take a moment and look in our siddur. Let's turn to the beginning of davening, and we say it right after the list of Birchas HaShachar in page 20. Page 20. You are asking for heavenly intervention. What are you saying over here? It's a Vihi Ratzon on the bottom here. Vihi Ratzon, I'm pointing to it. Vihi Ratzon. Vihi Ratzon Mefanech Hashem Alakeinu Alakei Aveseinu. We're asking Hashem, Shetargileinu B'Sarasecha, make us accustomed in your Torah. We say this every day. We don't even know that we're saying it. We're asking. The bottom line is to be able to be connected to Torah, to learning Torah. The very, very first way to protect yourself from stumbling is to be connected to Torah. And we got to pray for it. It's not coming on its own. We have to pray for Siyata Dishmaya, for heavenly assistance, and Hashem will give it to you, but you got to ask for it. It's there for the asking, but it's there. And look how he continues on. Please don't bring us to sin. Now, there you go. It's telling us in our prayer all the things that I've mentioned before to avoid. You're praying to Hashem to avoid all of it. V'loli de nisayon, don't give us a test. V'loli de vizayon, and not bring us to shame. V'al tasa bonu yetzara, and do not make the yetzara dominate us. V'harchikeinu mi'adama, and make us distance from bad people. U'mechaveira. And then he says, v'tapkeinu bi'yetzara tova, v'masam tova, and make us cleave and cling to the Yetzer Tov and to good deeds. V'chovas Yetzeinu l'hishtabelach, and force our Yetzer, our inclination, to serve you. This is what we pray for. The first thing we got to do is ask Hashem for help. We got to be sincere. And you say it every day, but you don't even know what you say.
Well, for those that understand Hebrew, and to go on with that, and just before Shema, we again say in the paragraph with Alvav Rabbah.
Exactly. But you want to tell you something. Even myself, I understand it, but I don't always connect. I'm not always concentrating. Exactly. And that is not an easy thing to do, even myself. No, I give that example. You find a fella, he's riding a bicycle, and he's sweating, but I've said it once before, and he says, I'm not going anywhere, and I'm sweating bullets. Mm-hmm. So the man says, hey, mister, why don't you connect the chain to the back wheel? You didn't connect the chain to the back wheel. You might be saying the words, but we're not thinking of what we're saying. Now, I'm not saying that's something that's easy to be done, but we're saying it. Let's turn to another prayer that we say we're asking also for our heavenly assistance. That's at the end of Shemona Esrei, page 118. Also, again, the main stress is learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. That protects us. That insulates us. And that does a fabulous job if we do connect. On page 118, we have the following. Everyone is familiar with this. Mm-hmm. Elokai, my God. Nitzor lishoni meira usvasai medaber mirmo. Guard my tongue from evil and my lips from deceit. Vilam kalalai nafshi sidom. And those who curse me, my soul shall be silent. Vinafshi kavol akoti. And my soul shall be as dust to everyone. And after he said that, then we pray for our Torah. Pesach libi b'sarasecha v'mitzvasecha dir tef nafshi. It's interesting. We begin davening, praying for assistance in learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, and we conclude the Amida, Shemona Esrei, with the same kind of prayer. So, getting back to what we started a moment ago, just saying, how do we protect ourselves and do tshuva for things we shouldn't have been doing? Is praying for heavenly assistance. And by learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, it insulates us from falling in between the cracks, so to say, and not doing what we have to do. If this can be achieved, then we are going to be privileged to the concept of Yiras Shamayim, fearing God. Now, when a person fears Hashem, what is fearing Hashem supposed to mean? It's supposed to mean that I am in control over myself, and I know how to say no. I repeat that. Knowing how to resist temptation, knowing how to hold yourself on the line and be in control of doing the mitzvahs you're supposed to be doing, and being in control over yourself in avoiding aveiros, which we sometimes slip and fall into. Sometimes without even our knowledge, but because we get into a certain habit, then we get involved. Yiras Shamayim is the most important ingredient that will result from learning Torah. Yiras Shamayim is the first thing we pray in the morning. Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. That's the first thing we pray for. We pray for that we should be privileged for Yiras Shamayim. We should be privileged for fearing God. But when by learning Torah, you will be privileged of becoming a Yiras Shamayim. We have a Mishnah that substantiates this concept that if a person has Yiras Shamayim, then all of that he has learned, all the Torah that he has studied, will endure, will be with him. And we can look at the same Perek again, Perek Yovas, Perek Gimel, but this time we're going to turn to Mishnah Yud Aleph. So let's go back to page, I think it was 550. And here we go. 550. No, I apologize. It's not 550. Perek Gimel. Hold on a second. Here we go. It's 560. Mishnah Yud Aleph. Do you have 560?
Mm-hmm.
Rabbi Chanina ben Deisa Omer. Rabbi Chanina ben Deisa says, "Kol sheyiras chetay kaidemes lechachmasai, chachmasai miskayemes." If a person's yiras shemayim precedes his Torah knowledge, then his wisdom will endure. But if his Torah knowledge precedes his fearing God, that means he's lax in controlling himself, he lacks in midos, he lacks in fearing Hashem and doing the right thing. His Torah knowledge will not endure. It will not protect him, it will not endure. So we see over here that Yirah Shemayim is a very, very important ingredient. And a person has to have Yirah Shemayim in order to endure. So again, how do you know if you have Yirah Shemayim? What would be your litmus paper test of knowing that you employ Yirah Shemayim? And that is whenever you are challenged and have to make a decision, and you decide to do the more difficult thing, which you know is the right thing, and you do it, then you are climbing the ladder of Yirah Shemayim. Yirah Shemayim does not come easily. Yirah Shemayim comes with challenges. And if your Yirah Shemayim precedes your Torah learning, because you are a man with principles, then you are on the road to climbing the ladder of Yirah Shemayim, and that will make your Torah learning endure forever. So in conclusion, with tonight's shiur, we have to recognize the following. We have to recognize that just like the garments of the Kohen Gadol came to atone for Averis, right? We have to do tshuva. We have to know midos ra'os, bad habits, also have to be atoned for. And therefore, with learning Torah and davening for success is the way to be able to atone for bad midos and to protect you in climbing the ladder of Torah and Yirah Shemayim. I just want to mention that when I spoke to my father last night, he told me a mashal, a parable, has to do about the Mishkan, and I want to fulfill the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av. And my father told me, say over this mashal, and I'm going to repeat it. And there is relevance to a little bit, because we talked about praying for success. And he said the mashal has to do with the Mishkan, which we can translate in our day, means the shul and the Beis Medrash that we daven every day in, to be the following. There was a mashal that a king had an only daughter. He loved her, he raised her, he educated her, and finally it was time to marry her off. This is his only daughter he loved with all his heart. When it came for the wedding and marrying her off, he had some longing, because he knew his daughter was going to live in another place with the prince who she was to marry, and he would feel very, very let's put it this way, depressed to an extent, being separated from her. So he said to his son-in-law and his daughter, do me one favor. When you go build your home, your palace, make me a small place for me to reside when I come and visit you. I would like to have my own place, but to be next to you. So my father told me to explain that this is a mashal, that the only daughter to the Jewish people is the only daughter to Hashem is the Jewish people, right? The Mishkan is the small abode where Hashem wants to rest His holiness right next to His people, and He wants to reside there all the time, but make Him a place so He can be there. And therefore, even though the Pasha Truma was last week, but the relevance is that the Kohen who did his avodah in the Mishkan, and we have to serve Hashem in our Mishkan, in our shuls, and we have to pray and help and hope that Hashem will help us succeed in growing and learning Torah and fighting Ayetzahara. And if our prayers are sincere, there is no doubt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer them and will be fortunate to be able to see his blessing throughout the week. And Yitzhak Hashem, hopefully we'll see Mashiach come speedily in our time. Thank you very much for listening.